Today we call the feast, this feast Epiphany. The Spanish, in the Spanish community, they call it La Solemnidad de los Tres Reyes Magos, meaning the three magic kings. So they don't call it Epiphany. The first time I said that as a new priest, I called it the Solemnidad de los Tres Reyes Malos, the three bad kings. Anyway, what a difference one letter makes. What is an epiphany? An epiphany is a realization. It is a sudden insight. It is a manifestation. It is when things come together like a great idea, But in the scriptures, an epiphany is a manifestation of God. It is a place where God is seen or manifested somehow. There are quite a few epiphanies in the scriptures, which we want to look at in a second. But I noticed in the paper a couple of days ago that the city of Prineville was in the news. I don't know if you've read this, but they put up a nativity scene in front of their city hall, and a wonderful group called the Freedom From Religion group threatened to sue them unless they took it down. So they did. We had a similar thing happen in Tillamook when I was there, and in fact, it's not illegal to put a nativity scene in front of a city hall. You just have to invite other religions if they want to participate in this. So, Prineville backed down because no community wants to get involved in a lawsuit in these economic times. But the reality is there's a lot of Christian groups that advise now that fight back very hard against these kinds of groups that are trying to push their agenda on all the rest of us. And so, in fact, they're going to bring it back next year. In fact, a group called the Catholic League for Civil Rights, the founder of that group, every year he petitions the city of New York City to put up a nativity scene in Central Park, and he gets permission for it every year. So that tells you all you need to know about whether that's legal or not. If you can get away with it in Manhattan, you can get away with it anywhere. So these people should not be bullying us around. In fact, this push is having an opposite reaction in people, where people are wanting to bring Christmas back with a vengeance because of these kinds of things. But God wants us to be free to not choose him. And some people do wish to have God pushed completely out of their lives. But God does have a way of manifesting himself to everyone. But he usually does it quite secretly. We see in the first manifestation of God in the Bible, of course, is Adam and Eve. We don't think of that as an epiphany. But they walked with God in the garden in the cool of the evening. They saw him face to face and talked as one person does to another. This is the relationship we were meant to have with God from the very beginning. We lost that somehow. And all of us are now living in a world in which God is not that clear, not that visible. But that was an epiphany, and it was normal. To have an epiphany is a normal thing. We see Abraham. God calls and says, "Abraham, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations." This was an epiphany. Abraham never heard of God at that point. Moses is walking, and he sees the burning bush, and God says, "Come no further. You're standing on holy ground. Take your sandals off your feet." And the world changed at that moment. It was a great epiphany. In the New Testament, we see Peter, James, and John go up the mountain, Mount Tabor, and Jesus is revealed in his divine nature as a being of light, as well as being fully human. What a moment. St. Paul is knocked off his horse by a light and a voice. The Lord himself he does not see. He sees a light and a voice. Then he goes blind for a while. These are all epiphanies. Mary has one when the archangel Gabriel comes to her. But the epiphany that we celebrate today that actually bears the name is not like those other epiphanies because it's more subtle. We have these individuals that we don't know what country they came from or quite who they were, but they were very much into astrology. Many of the ancient cultures studied the stars. They knew there was something there, something mysterious. They saw the workings of the divine there. And these astrologers, somehow, in the stars, they saw something that brought them into Israel. They knew that something had happened there, and they wanted to be a part of that. So they stop and ask, Herod, where is the new king that we have come to do homage to him? That's kind of a gutsy thing to say to an existing king, you know. And Herod was very threatened by this. But they do find out it's in Bethlehem. So far, all that they've had to go on is their own sign that they had in the stars. When they arrive, you may notice that we often put the wise men by our mangers scenes, but in reality, the scripture tells us that when they found Mary, Jesus, and Joseph in their home. So they apparently moved out of the cave, fortunately, at some point. And when they arrive, what do they find? They find a poor couple and a child. That's all. No angels, no halos. Nobody's glowing in the dark. You know what I mean? But they see this. They have heard. They heard from both the stars, and they heard from the wise people in Jerusalem, where the Messiah was to be born. They find what they're looking for. They offer him gifts. They prostrate and do him homage as a king and as God. This is remarkable from Gentiles, and give him gold as a king, frankincense as a priest, and God, myrrh, because he's going to die. Three very strange gifts. That's an epiphany. We ourselves have many epiphanies in our lives. We often do not know it, and God manifests himself to us. Sometimes it can be very dramatic. You know, I've had quite a few of these sort of dramatic things. I mean, not like the Archangel Gabriel or anything, but it was enough for me to get me to become a priest, for example. And I think God was so unsubtle with me because I wasn't listening, you know. He prefers to be quiet. He prefers to do things so that we have to look, and he does this so that we will get more sensitive to his speaking. I know as soon as I entered the seminary, all the things that God, it seemed like I had a direct pipeline to God, but as soon as I entered Mount Angel, it was like, hello, you know, the line went dead. I thought, okay. Because God wanted me to learn how to hear him in a normal way, you know. And this is what he wants. Now, we often find God in our daily lives, and we don't often realize it. Over this last 30 days, we had four penance services and a number of ones here that I did on my own. There was one at 12:30 I did the week before Christmas. There were about 80 people here. And I don't think I've ever heard so many reconciliations in my life. But what I noticed was that in all four of the local churches, there were quite a few people coming back to the sacrament after sometimes many decades. Maybe it's some of you. People come back to the church. They brought Jesus their sins. They were reconciled to God. Whatever process brought them back is an epiphany. You may not think of it as a great manifestation of God, but somehow God reached in and touched someone and asked them to come back to him and to be completely reconciled sacramentally. These are great epiphanies. This is the greatest kind of thing that God can do in somebody's life. Sometimes for the new year, we look at certain things that need to change, and we make New Year's resolutions, and I always try, and usually they don't work out too well. But that can be an epiphany also, especially if we realize that something in our life is wrong, that it's off base, that has to change. Sometimes God speaks through coincidences or through circumstances in life. I once went to the hospital, and I found that it was kind of an emergency, and that was the time that, for whatever caused it, I hit every single red light between here and Salem Hospital. And I said, Lord, can't you give me a break? I've got things to do. And he said, yeah, I am. You're going to learn patience, and that person can wait 5 minutes for you. You know, that was an epiphany for me. It doesn't sound like much, but that's how God works, is God speaking. But we have to want him. If we choose to not to throw him out, to shut the doors, if we want freedom from religion, when you belong to that society, God will honor that. This is why when he works in our world, he always wears a glove, because if he showed himself openly, we would no longer have the ability to have faith. We would lose our free will. And we have to be free to not choose him. We have to have freedom from religion if that's what you really want. It's the dumbest thing you can ever do in your life, but God makes us free to choose. There are two ways in which we often experience God. One of these is at the end of life. I know many have shared with me stories about how God has acted in very rather dramatic or at least ways in which you can see that God is operating. Because when we reach the moment of death with a loved one or for ourselves, the barrier between the two worlds is very thin, and it's almost as if those on the other side can't wait to share with us how things really are and how much we are loved. So I've heard a lot of good stories about it. I was thinking about one that happened last year, and I asked the widow in question, she said I was free to share this with you, is that I was called out to somebody's home, and the person had been away from the church for a while, and he wanted to be anointed, and I prayed with him, and I think I heard his confession. And he said, "Father, I want to ask you a question." This is what actually brought him out, asked me, this is why he asked me to come. And I said, "Yeah, what is it?" And he said, "Well, I was sitting in bed, and I saw Jesus sitting at the end of the bed, and he was looking at me." And why not? That could be true. I didn't dismiss that at all. I just said to him, I said, "Are you on morphine?" As far as I could tell, he wasn't on anything that was like that. In fact, he was completely lucid. And I said, "Well, what did Jesus say to you?" And he said, "Nothing. He just looked at me." I said, "What message did you get from that?" And he said, "He's coming for me real soon. Get ready." So I called you. So I said, I was very moved by this, and I'm sure it was the Lord, you know. And I said, "Well, look," I said, "if you see him again, I've got some questions for you to ask him for me." And he did see him again, but he didn't ask my questions. So I'm still waiting to hear answers to some of those things. But that was an epiphany, and Jesus did something very, very special for this man. It's the mystery of God, you know. The other place that we often have an epiphany, we don't think about it too often, is the Mass itself. When you think about it, it isn't a whole lot different than what the wise men experienced. They didn't see anything unusual when they went to Bethlehem. We too, we are actually in the presence of God when we come to Mass. Not only did he promise in the Scriptures to be with us when two or more are gathered in his name, he is in our midst right at this moment, but he spoke to us through the Word of God, the one thing that's going to last forever. Of all the books that we have on the internet and every other place, these are the words that we need to hear. This is the word of life. And then he speaks to us in the Eucharist. It looks like bread and wine, but he said, "This is my body. This is my blood." On one side, we see bread and wine. On the other side is heaven. And in the next world, we're going to see just what it was whose presence we were in and what we were celebrating. And it's an epiphany. And God will often speak to us here or afterward. Prayer is really the key, I think, to picking up the subtle ways that God often speaks to us. Perhaps we should take a look at the year that's just gone by to see if there were some high points where God really spoke to you and manifested himself to you, and to pray for openness in the coming year to actually watch for the manifestation of God in your life. It may be something dramatic, but it probably will be something a lot more subtle. This is what the wise men found, not dramatic, but subtle. St. Joseph himself, we heard a couple weeks ago, was the same thing. Not dramatic, but subtle. For Joseph, God spoke in dreams. So we ask God on this epiphany that he will teach us to offer him the gifts that he has given us and to receive the gifts that he wishes to give us. The gift of his presence, the gift of his guidance, the gift of the manifestation of God in our lives.